And that was Josh Groban singing To Where You Are. Kirsty Bedford is the editor of Luxury Escapes, which has over 3 million subscribers to its print and online magazines. Kirsty speaks with Graham Kemlow about some recent research on the latest trends in travel.
Well, one of our team members when we founded Travel Writers Radio was Kirsty Bedford. She was our news editor. She won an award for it. Now she's editor of Luxury Escapes magazine. Of course, she's now got her finger on the pulse of everything luxurious. Hi, Kirsty. Welcome back.
Thank you for that, Graham. Nice to be here.
Kirsty, you've done some research there at Luxury Escapes magazine that's proving interesting. Research among Australian readers, I gather.
Well, the research was actually conducted by Luxury Escapes, the travel company, which is our partner with the magazine.
Yeah.
So Luxury Escapes actually did recently do some research and some new data called Forecasting the New Decade of Travel. And they actually spoke to close to about 20,000 people, both Luxury Escapes subscribers and the broader Australian population. Found out some pretty interesting things, actually. So one of those was that more than 40% of people plan to take more than two international trips for a week or longer in 2020, and 4 in 10 plan to take two or more short trips in Australia in the next year. And there was some information about the top destinations, which probably not surprisingly for Australians are still Canada, USA, Italy, UK and Greece. There's also was Maldives, Japan, France, Thailand and Vietnam. And then the top three places we want to revisit are Japan, New Zealand and the UK. And that didn't really surprise me so much, given I've actually just been to New Zealand and Japan in the last month. The sort of reasons they were highlighting that was people wanting more experiential travel rather than extravagance and wanting to feel connected. And also we're after a transformational travel experience. So those are sort of the key things that this market is really looking for when we travel. It's really changed. You know, people aren't so concerned. I mentioned this last time about having gold taps and high thread sheets. It's more about the experience that people get, and I certainly felt that when I went most recently to both New Zealand and Japan.
I can understand Japan, given that it's got the Olympic Games coming, but the rest of them seem almost to be your heritage that people are going to visit. You know, Greece, obviously the UK, a lot of Aussies from the UK and Europe. And New Zealand, well, half New Zealand population's over here, I think. I don't know, you are one, but so that's
yeah,
all right.
Including me.
But what do you think? Is that how you see it? Is it sort of almost? I did hear someone refer to the DNA travel experience. I suppose that could well be what it's about.
I think people are increasingly wanting to go away and feel a really strong connection to a culture, and those places that were detailed as the top places we want to revisit, were the top two were Japan and New Zealand, and I sort of can understand exactly why they rate there, because New Zealand has such a strong connection to its indigenous Maori culture. And when I recently went, I was staying at a place called The Landing, which is right up in the far north, and it's just stunning, spectacular scenery, which is what you expect from New Zealand. It literally feels like you're walking around in a landscape painting. It's that beautiful. But I think it's actually more about the feeling you get when you're there. So I stayed in, there's four residences up there, and the one I stayed at has these huge bifold doors on three sides, and it opens out to a bay, and there's a little tiny island immediately in front of that, and it was actually named after a senior Māori chief called Te Pahi, and he set up his own village there in the early 1800s. But there's just everywhere on that property, there's just a feeling of connection to the Māori, and they consulted with local Māori in creating these residences, and it's acknowledged everywhere. Like even in the biggest property there called Cooper's Residence, it has the largest collection of Māori artefacts outside of a museum in New Zealand, and they take that really seriously. And Japan's a bit the same, I guess. It's sort of that feeling that you get, that feeling to the and respect for tradition and that real connection to the culture. When I was in Japan, which is another example, I stayed at Shikoku Island, which is the smallest of Japan's major islands, and that's most famous for its 88 temple pilgrimage. And it's a real sensory experience when you're in Japan, but you do have that real feeling of connection to that traditional culture when you go there, and the smell of the incense at the temples and the feeling of that people walking around the way they're dressed in traditional clothing, and just that real connection. So you leave feeling like you've really become a bit richer from it. And I personally think that that's why those two have quite rightly rated as top three places we want to revisit.
I can understand that. I think a lot of people are after experiences.
Absolutely. And I think, well, people still want to go back and stay somewhere really beautiful and somewhere lovely, which in both of those places you can do that. But you can also in Japan have that really traditional experience of sleeping on a futon and that sort of experience as well. But I think the other key is that people, it has to be authentic. So yeah, if the experience isn't an authentic one, and that's all equally also where New Zealand and Japan do that very well, rather than, you can go to Rotorua or some other places in New Zealand and see a sort of more commercialised
luau sort of show.
Yeah, and I think, and people really don't want that. They want to go somewhere where they have more of a unique connection, right, and to have their own sort of connections and have that authenticity. And so they feel that they are truly connected, not just sitting being a spectator, but rather being someone who's immersed in the culture. Yeah. And that, those are the sort of key things that we're really finding.
Mm. And the demographic of those who were involved in the research, was it across all age groups, etc., or was it a sort of millennial-focused activity?
No, it certainly wasn't, because Luxury Escape's audience is quite broad, so anywhere from sort of 35 years plus, so, and their platinum members are older than that. So there is a very broad spectrum of people responding and luxury travellers responding.
Okay.
And the sorts of people that are travelling now, you know, people have high disposable incomes in some areas, and they, luxury travellers, want to explore and experience things rather than actually buy materialistic things. And because of, I guess, the unaffordability in the housing market and that sort of thing, people are always looking to travel and looking to travel at home.
Anything else that the survey threw up that was interesting or surprising?
A couple of the other key trends were about the conscious travellers. So we want to give back a little more and also go to places that are kind on the environment. It also highlighted hyperspeed travel and space tourism.
All right.
Interestingly, the top five most wanted travel innovations are smart hotel rooms, facial recognition to speed up time at airports and through customs, surprise, surprise, smart luggage and green airlines. And this one is one that I'm sure that everyone who travels a lot would concur with, is a jet lag pill or a cure. So that's something that's certainly would be high on my list as well. As
I think the jet lag solution seems to be lying in the sun. But,
right,
you know, whether you can cook the chicken in half the time, I don't know. I think you might have to put in the time to for the body to readjust itself.
I find just getting on with it, just stay with the current, the time zone that you
stay
land
up
in.
As late as you can, I think, is the answer.
until
you have to go to sleep. Yeah, no, that's interesting. Oh, well, that's great, Kirsty. And what have you got in the mag? You've got an issue about to come out, haven't you?
We have got an issue. It's actually just hit newsstands now. And our latest issue is focusing on the top 20 experiences for 2020. So we've come up with some of the most amazing experiences, which is, you know, fitting with what this research has just said, that people can have globally. So all sorts of things and varying experiences, from swimming with whales to travelling and staying in some luxurious hotels where you have a button for champagne, free-flowing champagne. So we have really a wide selection of experiences.
Okay.
And even down to things like being able to walk on with Opera Australia at the Sydney Opera House and having your own part.
Okay. I hope you have to be able to sing, or just a subscriber?
No, you don't. You don't have to be able to sing.
Thanks for filling us in on that information, and we'll look forward to chatting with you in the new year. I should say happy birthday. You've been at the magazine about a year, haven't you?
We have. Our magazine has just turned one, so we've been pretty pleased, been very well received.
Kirsty Bedford, thanks very much for your time.
Thanks for having me, Graham.
That was Kirsty Bedford of Luxury Escapes magazine speaking with Graham Kemlow.